behavioral management course in college, the professor presented a theory known as Maslow's theory of hierarchy of needs. This concept outlined a five-tier model of human needs, often depicted as a hierarchical level within a pyramid. Maslow proposed that once certain needs were met at each level, there was the possibility to attain the next. From the bottom of the up, going upwards, the needs are described as biological requirements, such as food and water, safety, such as health and employment, love and belonging needs, friendship, esteem, a feeling of accomplishment, and then self-actualization, achieving one's full potential. If we were to take this concept and develop a model of our own spiritual needs and faithful ambitions, what may it look like? I gather that prayer would be the first tier, the foundation on which all our faithful actions flow. Each time we pray, we enter into an intimate encounter with God, opening the gate in which we are invited to experience the divine love that is shared between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as this relationship grows, we move towards a deeper understanding of sacred scripture and tradition, the teachings of God's Holy Church, secure in our faith to continue Jesus' work in our daily lives. This relationship of unity and love flourishes each time we participate in the sacraments, seek Jesus' mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation, attend Mass, and receive Jesus in the most blessed sacrament, since we are blessed with the opportunity to embrace God's transformative grace. This joy, this realization of unity and love, has brought us here today to celebrate this heavenly banquet as a community of faith that is called to go forth to share the love with others by our actions and our words, to help build and grow God's kingdom here on earth. So then, what may be our spiritual goal, our pinnacle of faithful self-actualization? Perhaps it is to live a life imitating Jesus, our Blessed Mother, Blessed Joseph, or a saint, or maybe it's being welcomed by our Lord at the end of our days with the words, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Friends, whatever our faithful actions or hopes are, today's solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity reminds us that they must be always centered upon the love that is shared between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a divine internal love that we have been invited to share through Christ Jesus. Yes, it's been said that the Holy Trinity is a mystery, and that it is true, for after all, who knows the mind of the Lord? Yet, even though our understanding of this mystery will have its limitations, there is one certainty that we can profess and proclaim through a revelation given to us through Jesus. Throughout sacred scripture, we hear Jesus revealing that the Holy Trinity is a community of persons in an internal relationship of divine love. At Jesus' baptism, the voice of the Father from heaven proclaims, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased," as the Holy Spirit descends upon our Lord. At the Last Supper, Jesus says, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love." And then towards the end of John's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, "When he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine." Jesus' revelation of this sacred mystery has been embraced by the faithful throughout the centuries, whether in the work of theologians, depictions by artists, or explained through an analogy like the use of a three-leaf clover by St. Patrick. The Church teaches that the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian faith and of Christian life, and we profess this belief while reciting the Creed. Today's readings offer us the opportunity to reflect upon our understanding of the Most Holy Trinity and embody the truth and responsibilities that have been made known to us through Jesus. We heard in the first reading Moses describing God as the author of life. God created the world and all the peoples in it, and Moses urges the people to never forget the greatness of God and all that he has done for them, giving them life and instructing them how to live. In the gospel, Jesus brings this instruction to fulfillment and completion. His words echo Moses when he commands the disciples not only to baptize, but to teach and observe all that I have commanded you. Our Lord is about to ascend to the Father, and he gathers the 11 apostles, sets their doubts aside, and instructs them to carry on his mission, saying, "All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age." Jesus tells his apostles to go to all nations. In other words, everyone is to be invited to share in the life offered by God through Jesus. All people in various times and places are welcome to become disciples through baptism. This was Jesus' mission. It is the mission of his Holy Church, and it is our solemn obligation as his disciples to help grow and build God's kingdom on earth through our words and actions. St. Paul reminds us in the second reading that baptism is the doorway in which we enter into the divine love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is through baptism that we become adopted children of God. We enter into the very life-giving relationship of the Holy Trinity, of God himself, who we call Abba, Father. One aspect of being children is that no matter what our age is, we have the opportunity to grow. This is the part of the mystery and beauty of our participation in the divine life. There is always room for more growth. The growth occurs when we seek to know and to keep the way of the Lord. It is in following Jesus' footsteps as his disciples that we grow as children of God to full maturity by embracing God's will and his transformative grace. No matter how the Holy Trinity is described or imagined, we are drawn into the mystery of this life. God is the source of life and the one who sustains us in life through divine love. The inner life of God is a relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The relationship is one of love. Through Jesus, we have been invited to share in this divine and eternal life. Friends, hold in your hearts that the Holy Trinity is all about relationship, unity, and love. It is the unceasing love of the Father and the Son that generates the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit for all of eternity. A divine gift of inspiration, guidance, and strength. The sacred source of all our spiritual needs and faithful ambitions. And at times when we may have doubt or a sense that we may not be up to Jesus' call to carry on his mission, or when we seek to deepen our understanding of the love that God shares with us and asks us to share with others, we need only to look at the cross and contemplate the sacred mystery of the Trinity. St. Augustine once wrote that if you see charity, you see the Trinity. So as we leave Mass today, inspired by the Word of God and strengthened by the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, what are those things that we can let go of? What are those things we need to do to embrace and imitate the love of the Holy Trinity in our daily lives and share this divine and eternal gift with others?
Let us stand.